Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, folks? It's 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I believe the date is December 5th. Yes, folks, 20 days until Christmas. Can you believe 20 days Santa comes down the chimney and we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior? Good stuff happening there, folks. 20 days. Have you got your shopping in? Char, have you got your shopping done?
Of course.
Yeah, I haven't bought a thing. I haven't bought a thing, folks. Christmas, I'm so sorry for my family and friends. Money's tight and nothing's free. Won't somebody come and rescue me? It's crazy. But in light of that, I'm going to skip our usual top of the hour break. We'll just quickly talk about things like Texas, TrueTexasPatriotGear.com, folks. Log on to TrueTexasPatriotGear.com. Get your calendar. I think you can still get one by Christmas. No?
Yeah, if they hurry, I think we're down to about 10 calendars left, and we will not be reordering them. So if you want one, you need to get over there and get it now.
I got no dang money. Darn it.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, folks,
I know.
And also, you want to check out CleverPreppers.com. Those guys over there are social media for folks who want to get ready for anything and everything that may come, from natural disasters to man-made disasters to tyranny. So you want to head over to CleverPreppers.com. Of course, our good friend Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. I want to mention Dave and his band and his thing, what's going on. They're rocking out. They're on tour, and they're making stops around the country. JordanPageMusic.com. Check out Jordan Page Music. Ballad of LaVoy Finicum. What else have we got? We got anything else we want to promote before I hit a soldier's Christmas? Ladies and gentlemen, it's the only Christmas song I got on the board right now, and this is Dave Bray when he was the lead singer of Madison Rising and their song, A Soldier's Christmas. Be back right after this.
The leaves have all fallen back home where I'm from. Thanksgiving's come. Thanksgiving's gone, and my family tells stories round their Christmas tree in the warm living room on Christmas Eve. And the candlelight shimmers as I write down the song, place far away from family and home. As the pen hits the paper, shadows grow long, but I stay here a soldier. Just me and my gun on this Christmas, I'll tell you truth in my heart from a place that's forgotten. Time, God, and love, I'll stay here, man. My word and faith, there's nothing in this world that I wouldn't trade to go home. falling back home where I'm from. Thanksgiving's come, Thanksgiving's gone, but I stay in the fight. I'll soldier on for the ones who will never come home.
That's right, folks. Let's not forget our brave men and women standing in harm's way right now, those who gave the ultimate sacrifice and those who are planning on giving the ultimate sacrifice for our liberty and our freedom. Please bear with me as I choke, gag, cough, sneeze, and sniffle during Trainwreck Radio Show. What else would it be without some kind of train wreck? Ladies and gentlemen, it's a quick public service announcement for my friend Tina and her news group. It's news. The media won't show you. It's a website within Facebook run by a couple of news researchers and a journalist who post more real-time news than any other news site daily by combining all of their articles in one location. News from places like the Drudge Report, World Net Daily, Breitbart, Daily Caller, Jihad Watch, Pro-Life News, and much more, covering topics that conservatives and Christians care about that others won't cover. Fox News is somewhat fair and balanced for the most part, but they only show a small portion of the news daily. We're trying to make a one-stop shop for patriots to get news quickly on Facebook so they can help us share it with others. We post 50 to 100 stories a day that are current. Facebook only letting 12% of your friends see your posts at most. We ask our members to please share news we find to other large Facebook groups. Folks, that's news the media won't show you on Facebook. Search them out. It's good stuff there, folks. What's happening, Shaw? My co-host, ladies and gentlemen, welcome around to the show. How the heck are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Great.
I hear that.
It's nothing like a 10-hour day with the flu. It's fun. I don't have a fever, so I'm hanging in there. You know what I mean? But check this out.
You're so
it's
funny.
It's the Train Wreck Radio Show.
You're so
ladies
funny.
And gentlemen, I love my sound effects, boy. I love the sound effects. Tonight, our friend from Carolina, she's an attorney. Lauren Martell is going to join us in a little bit. And we're going to be screaming down the rails, looking for a train wreck. We always just seem to find a good one each Monday night, as this show has morphed from Constitution 101 to the Train Wreck Radio Show, folks. So if you are back and haven't listened in a while, that's what happened. So listen here for the train. It's coming down the track. We're hoping about to derail. Right now it's the Liberty Train. Hopefully it won't roll off the tracks and destroy the show. Here we go.
You're so funny.
I love that stuff, man. Radio's fun. Come on, it's a blast.
Yep.
You know, and I have this little tablet. It's a lot of fun. So there's a lot of stuff apparently developing up in North Dakota at the Dakota Access Pipeline. It seems to be breaking out. It's getting around. It's getting out on social media. They're talking about it a little bit on the news. And, of course, it seems to be a bunch of malarkey what they're reporting. What do you have
of
to
course.
Say on this topic today, Shaw?
Well, as we know, the mainstream media cannot be trusted. They can't be trusted to report on any kind of real news whatsoever. And then when they do get around to reporting on something that might actually be of import to the regular people, they can't even report it accurately. So what we have is, excuse me, a long-standing, I don't like to call it a protest because it's not really a protest, but a long-standing line of defense at Standing Rock, North Dakota, right outside of the Standing Rock, Dakota, or as they call it, Sioux Reservation. Excuse me, and when I say they, I refer to the non-indigenous community. But outside of that reservation are a couple of camps, and those camps have been there since April. So for many months,
yep.
we've had a line of defense in defense of water for the Dakota Access Pipeline. And this pipeline traverses four states, as we know, and it traverses over two rivers, the Missouri and the Mississippi. The Missouri eventually falls into the Mississippi, and it can and will affect the Mississippi watershed. Now, there's much argument out there about the numerous pipelines that already traverse this great republic, and this is true, but we have to start somewhere. When we stand up for what is right and what is wrong, we have to start somewhere. In this particular instance, the original route for this pipeline, this section of pipeline in North Dakota, was meant to go by Bismarck. And Bismarck is 70% Caucasian. The people of Bismarck
right.
were unhappy with this. And it was about 5 miles outside of Bismarck where it was going to be. The people were unhappy about it, and the Army Corps of Engineers said, you know what, this could potentially be dangerous for the water supply for Bismarck, North Dakota, so we need to reroute it, or DAPL, okay, need to reroute it. And lo and behold, it took a rather circuitous route to be within 1/2 mile of the water intake and crossing over the Missouri River within 1/2 mile of the Standing Rock Reservation. And lo and behold, that area happens to be 70% Native American, specifically the Lakota Dakota people. And they happen to be some of the poorest of the poor. And because of where it's located, should there be a leak at that under river crossing, they would have less than an hour to be notified in order to turn off their intake valve. Yes, there are, of course, plans in the works to change their drinking water, but the drinking water intake isn't going to be changed in advance of the pipeline being put in. As we all know, all this stuff happens later. So, of course, a leak could occur before their drinking water source is changed. And anybody who does any research into the oil industry will recognize that it's very rare, extremely rare, and specifically rare in North Dakota, where the government and the two agencies that control the reporting and the financial citing for damages and assigning of fault, et cetera, and so on a legal level with oil companies are in bed together. I mean, they're married as far as, you know, for lack of a better term, the oil companies and the government and the government agencies of North Dakota are practically married. So the chances of the Standing Rock Reservation getting a less than 1 hour notification in order to turn off their drinking water intake is slim to none, and slim has left town. So it's of high concern. So they've been doing some water protection. The camps have grown. Support has grown. Information has grown with regard to what's going on. And as far as I, constitutional truth, are concerned, it's more a matter of tyranny versus liberty and less so much about, you know, water and ecology. Those are important. Don't misunderstand me. But it's more of a tyranny versus liberty issue because of the most recent developments over the last few months, specifically since the beginning of September and forward. When we look at the misbehaviors of licensed in North Dakota security teams with vicious dogs attacking the water protectors as they had gone to the same area from which they were recently evicted. Unceded treaty land. And when I say unceded, I'm using the word C-E-D-E. Okay.
Yes.
Treaty land that was given them or agreed to be kept by them. Let me rephrase that. Under the 1851 Fort Laramie Treaty, and of course, since that time, as is pretty much standard operating procedure of the federal government, lands that were then taken back either by the federal government or the states of North and South Dakota, taken away from the Lakota Sioux and sold off, kept by the state of North Dakota, et cetera, and so on. So the person who happened to own that particular plot of land that came under contention and was bulldozed on Labor Day weekend in early September, that person allowed the previous, I can't remember the exact terminology, but historical preservation officer for the tribe to come out there and do an historical assessment. Now, understand that for the most part, the federal laws have not been followed with regard to assessing things. The state of North Dakota has taken it upon themselves to work directly with the company. The company does have an archaeologist on its staff, but of course, you know, this archaeologist is paid by the company, so we know where their loyalties lie. The state of North Dakota employed a university archaeologist to go out there and do assessments. Again, not under federal law. Federal law requires that federal archaeologist and the tribal archaeologist for any and all tribes that may be affected whenever something like this is occurring, whenever tribal lands or lands outside of tribal lands. And you got to understand that whether it's on a reservation or within a certain mileage of a reservation, if there's any historical significance, which of course this area is very historically significant for tribes, that there be a historical assessment done to determine if there may be any burial grounds or if any sacred sites or any type of historical significance for the tribe. This was not done. This was all done by the state of North Dakota, which has no skin in the game, legally and historically speaking. It's meant to be done between the two sovereign nations, the Lakota Nation and the federal government. Those are the two nations that have the skin in the game because those are the two, the treaty was done between the two of them. North Dakota had nothing to do with the treaty. But, of course, North Dakota decided to do the assessment, and they decided nothing was there. Well, this previous historical preservation officer found some historical evidence there. They marked off these locations, and this information was provided to the DAPL legal team, and the DAPL legal team leaked it to the contractors, and that's why in the wee hours of the morning on September 3rd, there was the bulldozing done to destroy that evidence, because they knew under federal law, if this information were shared with those federal circuit judges in Washington, D.C., that the pipeline and the construction would have been halted for a minimum of 30 days for additional surveys to be conducted. So they went in and they destroyed the land, and that's when the dogs were sicked on them, and it just intensified from there. And then we saw on October 27th, and you know days prior to, right across the street from where that occurred, or across Highway 1806 from where that occurred, some of the water defenders set up a what they called a forward camp, or a treaty camp, as they called it, I believe, where they decided to set up a camp on unceded property and were taking back unceded land, almost an adverse possession, if you will, but not exactly. They were just repossessing land that they had never ceded in the 1851 treaty. There was no official ceding of this land. And then on the 27th, they were unceremoniously and very rudely, aggressively, and quite abusively removed from that land. And quite a few attacks happened to them. And then on the 21st of November, there were some more egregious attacks, and the weather was horrible. It was below freezing. And despite the claims of the Morton County Sheriff's Department of it being a fire truck, anyone that looks at the videographic and still photography that was taken from those videos, and there were multiple live streams done, not just by the indigenous reporters on the ground, but by others who were there on the ground from various angles. They were down on that bridge that Morton County Sheriff's Department still swears on a stack of phone books is unsafe to cross, yet they keep it chained off and they occupy it with their own heavy equipment. So somehow or another, it's safe enough for them to stay on, but it's not safe enough to be open for emergency travel or regular travel, but I digress. They had equipment on there, and in some photographs I've seen, these trucks have the names of various sheriff's departments on the side of them, spraying direct streams of water against the protesters. Now, they say it was to put out fires that were started by the protesters, and yet there is video evidence of canisters of something, whether it be tear gas or OC spray, being shot out into the grassy area and igniting fires in the grass. There were one or two contained fires that were started by the water defenders, but that was to maintain their own warmth. And I believe that most of those were in steel barrels. And of course, after the water cannons, which truly were water cannons, not fire trucks with misting sprays. These were direct sprays inducing hypothermia. The next day, there was a report of over 300 people injured, mostly from hypothermia. There is a young woman whose first name is escaping me. Sophia. Her first name is Sophia. Her last name, I believe, but probably am mispronouncing her last name, but she was injured from a canister impacting her arm.
Is that the lady with the arm? Yeah.
Correct. A canister impacted her arm and exploded at either midair or at impact. And she is expected to have to undergo an additional 20 to 30 surgeries in order to keep her arm. They're using what they call sponge-tipped bullets, and I've done the research on this. And ladies and gentlemen, I need to let you know that there is only one manufacturer of these 40-millimeter rounds, and there's a history behind these 40-millimeter rounds. They came out of an army response, okay? The army developed these rounds, and law enforcement wanted to use them. And so a private company was given permission to continue to produce them for civilian use. These are not the tips on these rounds. And when I say 40 millimeter, I want you to grab a ruler that has metric on it and look how large 40 millimeters is. Okay. Think about your 22 millimeter round and then think about a 40 millimeter round. Okay.
Then double it.
Correct. A 40 millimeter round, and they are not sponge tip. I pulled up a white paper on these that was written from a law enforcement perspective, but it tells right there in that white paper that sponge tip is a misnomer that started from the beginning and has simply stuck with it. It's actually a polymer that is softened. They're plastic tipped. Now, I have continued to do some research on this to find out how this polymer changes in various weather conditions, but if you guys consider, like I do, changing weather and the way plastics behave, because that's exactly what this is. These 40 millimeter plastic rounds, the casing is plastic, and then the tip is just a softened fake rubber. is what it is. It's fake rubber,
right.
So they're just softened a little bit. You can imagine that temperature is going to have an effect on the softness of that tip. So if it's 27 degrees or lower, that tip is going to be harder than if it were 85 degrees outside. Okay. They are shot from specialized weapons specifically made for these rounds. There is a PDF that goes with them that the last time I tried to access it, the website was down. The manufacturer's website was down. But the PDF in the lower right-hand corner says, warning, loss of life or serious injury may occur with the use of this round.
Right.
This PDF tells you that it comes out at 325 feet per second. It gives you the minimum and the maximum effective range, and so on and so forth. These rounds, while they say they're non-lethal, that simply means that they're not a regular gunpowder, lead-tipped, semi-jacketed, fully jacketed, hollow point round, meaning that they do not have the intention of killing, but they can be lethal if they are used
right.
improperly.
Well, look at that one lady's eye.
Mm-hmm.
She got shot like in the face, in the eye. She's going to lose her eye. So
well, that's the
anything,
point.
She could be blind.
That's
yeah,
the point.
Of the bullet.
Everything, well, the thing is, what I'm getting at is not only this white paper, but the instruction sheet for these rounds, and I've looked at that round, the beanbag round, the various different crushed-nosed bullets, okay, that they have, and those are the ones that will either have OC spray or marking compounds or what have you. Everything that I have looked at for these 40-millimeter, quote-unquote, non-lethal rounds, all of them tell you that you were supposed to hit thigh or buttocks or abdomen, okay, because they are meant to inflict pain in order to get people to stop doing what they're doing. It tells you to avoid the organ systems, to not hit in the back, to not aim for the head, to not aim for the knee, because they can cause serious injury. And I have seen report after report from various people on the ground where they were hit in the stomach, they were hit in the back, they were hit in the neck, they were hit in the head, and one gentleman said he was hit in the stomach and he showed how he was hurt. The person employing the weapon that operates these sponge-tipped rounds, okay, smiled and shot him twice, once in each knee. Okay. Folks, we're dealing with a declared war, an undeclared war by the National Guard of North Dakota and the various sheriff's departments from all the different states that have answered the call against the true meaning of that emergency response law, to go up there and declare war against a sovereign nation, against their own people, because while Native Americans are sovereign, they're considered to be dependent nations. So they have a dual citizenship. They are Americans while being their own nation as well. And they're declaring
yep.
war on them for simply standing up for what they believe in and exercising their rights. And when we hear people such as the North Dakota Association of Veterans Organizations or whatever the crap that was, telling veterans, don't show up, we're not going to help you recruit to do this veterans thing, and we disagree with doing unlawful things, and they're repeating lies that are coming out of the North Dakota Cattlemen's Association of slaughtered livestock. Well, all of the indigenous activities that are happening, all of the indigenous reporters, they are showing photographs and live streams. And these live streams are saved as video, and they are on every piece of social media out there. We're seeing what's happening at the hands of the law enforcement. But when law enforcement and North Dakota Cattlemen's Association and so on and so forth report that bison and cattle and other livestock are being murdered, we never see any pictures of dead cattle and dead bison. We just hear these allegations. When we hear that local ranchers are being terrorized by protesters, okay, aka the water defenders, we never see any police reports. We never see any photographs of the local rancher saying, yeah, I saw this person show up and, you know, I saw them drive out from the camp and they came over to the ranch and they, you know, killed 14 head of cattle. We never see any evidence. We just hear these allegations. But we see the evidence of law enforcement and the National Guard. And oddly enough, National Guard doesn't fall under posse comitatus, by the way. So they're exempt from posse comitatus, just to let you know. But we see them, you know, engaging in this heinous and egregious human rights things, you know, these actions that are just unseemly for one human being to do to another, but we never see any evidence of these other allegations. We never see any evidence of these horrible things that are being said to have been committed, but we've got these idiots from North Dakota Veterans Coalition, whatever, you know, coalition of veterans organizations, whatever the heck it is, saying that we're not going to support you if you come up here and we're not going to help you recruit. Well, that's fine. There's, you know, North Dakota didn't have that many people, so that can't have that many veterans. We'll just bring them in from the other 49 states. Screw you. We don't need you. You know, go ahead and stand up that way. You know, when the one and only representative for North Dakota is given a 23-minute speech on the House floor repeating that drivel, whatever, you know, get on with your bad self. We know where you stand. We know who lined your pockets. You go on ahead and get on with your bad self, because sunshine is the best disinfectant. Thank you, Mr. Bundy. And the sunshine and the light of truth will shine, and all it takes is one candle to light up a dark room. So you can go on ahead and keep piling on your darkness and evil and lies, but all it takes is for one candle to dispel the darkness.
Yep, absolutely. From what I understand, there actually is maybe a gas line that's going through the same area, isn't there? That they want to put this
That's what they're
oil
saying.
Line?
Yeah, that's what they say. I don't know if there is or not. And if there is, it's not on the reservation, because this line isn't technically on the reservation. But if there is a gas line there, that would be a public utility, because it would be a gas line that serves the people. And that's something else that people don't seem to understand. That particular bit of property that all these folks are griping about, well, they're on private property. It's the former Cannonball Ranch. Or a ranch that was formerly known as the Cannonball Ranch, about 7,000 acres. And the company bought the entire ranch for an undisclosed amount. And I cannot find the letter from the North Dakota Attorney General, and I'll have to go out there and hunt it down again. I thought I saved it, and I didn't. But the Attorney General for North Dakota issued a letter to DAPL questioning the purchase, because there's a law in North Dakota that says limited liability companies, LLCs, cannot own farm or ranch land, farms or ranches, unless the LLC is a family of ranchers or farmers, and they're going to have that land for the purpose of farming and ranching. So they're questioning DAPL purchasing that ranch. The purpose, you know, they're questioning why they purchased it, because the only reasoning that DAPL has put out for buying that entire ranch instead of just a portion of it is for the safety and security of the workers and to ensure access to the roadway and the easement for construction. So once the construction is done, what are they going to do with the ranch? Are they going to sell it back again? Are they going to go into ranching? Because they can't under the law. There cannot be a corporate ranch. It has to be an actual family ranch. And Dapple's not a family. And it's been more than 30 days since that letter was issued. And to my knowledge, there has not been any response to it. And they were given 30 days in that letter to respond to why they made that purchase. So it may be private property, but it's not like it's Mr. and Mrs., you know, Schwartzmeyer's private property and that they're the complainants. Dapple's private property and they're the complainants. So as far as I'm concerned, screw them. They unlawfully purchased and illegally purchased that entire ranch. And now they're using that illegal and unlawful purchase in order to keep people off of that land. Well, screw them.
I hear that. Now, I heard Donald Trump was an investor for a while in what's the name of that company over there? What's the
Energy
name of the
Transfer?
Company? I'll find it. Yeah, Energy Transfer Company.
Yeah.
He had a $500,000 to a $1 million investment over there. This was in our radio group chat. And he sold out back in May for $50,000, and he's not an investor in the Dakota Access Pipeline at this time. But, folks, Donald Trump is in favor of eminent domain. I just want everybody to understand that. But he's against the federal government owning 85% of the land west of the Mississippi. So, you know, he's you know, conflicting a little bit, but I think he wants to free up some of the land and give it back to the states so that they can do what's right and the people can thrive and live and make a living and use the land the way it's intended to be used. Not charge them exorbitant amounts of money to buy an acre of land because it's federal land, you know, and they rip people off.
Right.
It's a big scam. It's a big scam.
Well, here's the thing that, you know, a Facebook friend of mine brought up. She couldn't understand – she can't understand why nobody is discussing Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 with regard to what's going on up there. Because everybody's talking about that easement under Lake Oahe. And I need to clear up something with everybody about Lake Oahe. Lake Oahe is just a widened section of the Missouri River on the reservation. And it was created by flooding all that area of the reservation, displacing a lot of the natives that were on that area because they had homes there. The Army Corps of Engineers, when they created that lake, purportedly for the good of the Lakota, they just went in there and they flooded that area. And it wiped out a lot of homes that belonged to the people, but they didn't provide them any replacement homes. And so it's not technically a lake. It's just a very widened section of the Missouri River. It's on the reservation, so to speak. Okay. It kind of skirts on it and off it. Okay. Now, this lake and that land that is alongside the lake where the permits need to be issued. Okay. The Army says that it owns it. It even goes so far as to say that it owns it in a letter that it wrote to Morton County Sheriff's Department in November when it asked, when the Army Corps of Engineers asked for assistance from the Sheriff's Department in keeping people off of that section of land while it determined what to do. The person who wrote that letter called himself a property owner. Now, I haven't actually Google mapped the area myself, but I'm pretty sure that somebody up there would have let us know if there was a military base, a fort, a port, a magazine, or an arsenal in that strip of land, that easement that is under the care, custody, and control of the Army Corps of Engineers. And it's certainly not within the confines of the 10-mile square of D.C. So therefore, it should belong to the Lakota Sioux and be under their custody and control. it sure as hell doesn't need to go to North Dakota, because you know what North Dakota would do with it.
Yeah. Unbelievable stuff. And hopefully, I don't know, I guess this, they said that they're not going to grant the permit, but that was baloney. From what I'm hearing that's a lie. What's the story there? What the heck is going on with that story?
What I'm reading is that the permit granting has been suspended until January 21st. What's about January 21st?
Yeah, look at that, huh?
Yeah. I think they're just kicking the ball down the court, wait until the next president is in office, and then let them deal with it. I know that the Army Corps of Engineers, the Department of Interior, which is the department that has the Bureau of Indian Affairs in it, and the Department of Justice are still relying upon that joint letter that they issued with regard to having to have discussions with the stakeholders. And I know that there's supposed to be some discussions going on amongst those groups, or at least the Bureau of Interior. The Army Corps of Engineers, if I'm not mistaken, is still under a lawsuit from the tribe. That goes, we know how federal can go. Depending upon who you are, they either go fast, hard, and furious, or, you know, they go slow and steady, and, you know, your fifth generation great-great-great-grandchild finally gets to hear what happened. But the Army Corps of Engineers, I don't know, they really foobarred on this one, because they didn't request an environmental impact survey. They just did assessments of each little section. The entire project should have been issued a single permit after an entire survey of the whole project was done. Instead, they were given these, I think Title 12 is what they're called, types of permits, where each section is permitted as you go. And the EPA at one point, I want to say it was in 2015, requested an entire, at least for the North Dakota area, requested these more stringent environmental impact survey done, and it was never completed. Or if it was, the results were never published. And of course, you know, we know that the permit either was or was not issued. DAPL says that it was issued in July of 2016. Army Corps of Engineers says that it wasn't, or that they're going to hold off on it for now until further talks. DAPL says they're just going to keep on going. They don't care that they consider this to be political posturing, and they're just going to keep on going because they're in the right and the government's in the wrong because of political posturing. So I don't see an end to this issue. I'm hoping that the folks up there in North Dakota are seeing it for what it is, recognizing that every little bitty win is, you know, just a step in the entire process, and that they cannot let their guard down.
Yep. Well, you know, at least we have some headway. There's two sides to every story.
Yeah.
Folks, whatever side of the story you're on, it doesn't matter, because the militarized use of force against people, whether you agree with their protest or not, is not right. That's where I stand in this. I haven't picked a side. Of course, my heart goes with the Native Americans, but who knows? You know, I keep hearing and not telling the whole story, and that there was negotiations since 2014 about which way to go with this pipeline and all this stuff. And I don't know, but it doesn't matter. It's really moot. Whose side is right, whose side is wrong, does not matter. Once you pull out water cannons and sub-zero temperatures and spray women and children and people, causing mass hypothermia. Anytime you shoot people in the face with rubber plastic tipped bullets, whenever you throw shock grenades at people and blow their arms off, it's not right. Intimidation in that fashion is tyranny at its worst.
Yeah, when you misuse,
they're in guns. Yeah. They have bulletproof vests and helmets and MRAPs, and you know, and they're coming with dogs and weapons, and these guys are standing there with signs saying, "Choose water." You know, water is life, and no DAPL. And they're standing with signs, and they're attacking them physically with force. That's where
Yeah, and you know what's awesome to me? The other day, the Morton County Sheriff's Department, I believe it was on their Facebook page. I didn't go and verify it, but I know at some point on some social media, Morton County Sheriff's Department put out a call for supplies, water, Gatorade, sodas, snacks, granola bars, that kind of thing. And they put it out publicly that they needed these things. The elders and the youth council for the Ossetti Sakwan, and I always mispronounce it, my native brothers and sisters, please forgive my mispronunciation of the name, okay? I'm very phonetic, and I have mispronounced it 150,000 times. But the I think it's Ossetti Sakwan. But anyway, the one of the two camps, they gathered up water. They chose not to give them energy drinks or Coke because they wanted to give them water because water is life. But they gathered up water and some of the foodstuffs, and they went to the sheriff's department, and they made a donation to them.
See? It's That's weird. That's kind of strange. I guess it's a good faith offering. Look, we're donating. We understand law enforcement's important. But the Morton County Sheriff, that's where the whole thing is happening. They have given jurisdiction to the federal government and other police agencies from outside of Dakota.
Well, what they did is they took it, and I can't remember the name of the law, but there is a federal law that went into effect under President Obama. And it's not an executive order, it's an actual federal law, and it has to do with national disasters, whereby all 50 states signed on that if one state has a national disaster, or, you know, it has a state of emergency, then the other states will assist, okay, with either law enforcement, fire department, that kind of thing. And it's meant to be for disasters like, you know, a hurricane, a fire, like what happened in Gatlinburg recently, that kind of thing. It was never meant to be to come in and wage war against another people, ever. And that's why some of, I would say maybe one, I know of at least one, but there's perhaps two agencies that have backed off and said no. Okay, because the state that asks for the assistance has to pay the other states that are assisting, and they either pay out of their own funds or out of federal emergency funds that come in. And so I know of at least one that has said, "Oh, wait a minute, we're not doing that. If this isn't an actual disaster, this is you're in there, you know, just pissing around and fighting with people. This isn't an actual disaster." It's totally different if we're talking about going into Gatlinburg and, you know, into Tennessee. I mean, half of Tennessee is on fire, or was.
Yep.
And that's a totally different story where you deploy, you know, law enforcement and fire departments and medical personnel to go in and assist with that, or in a hurricane situation, you know, things like that. That's what the law was intended for.
Right.
North Dakota decided, well, we're going to use the color of the law and employ this and bring in some assistance. And that's what they're using. And then, of course, the governor, because he is the governor, decided to bring in the National Guard. And the National Guard is there. And like I said, they don't fall under the Posse Comitatus law. Posse Comitatus clearly states that National Guard are exempt from Posse Comitatus unless they become federalized. Now, if the federal government enlists the National Guard into a federal issue, okay, like calls them up to federal duty, then they fall under posse comitatus. But right now they are operating under the governor, Governor Dalrymple of North Dakota. So they are exempt from posse comitatus, but they are still military. They're still operating as a military force. And it's disgusting to me. As a veteran, it is absolutely disgusting to me to see Army and some Air Force personnel, because you have to understand that a National Guard for a state is Air National Guard and Army National Guard. It's disgusting to me as an Air Force veteran to see Guards people pulled on to state national duty, you know, state active duty to fight against to fight against their fellow Americans, and to basically fight an undeclared war. It's disgusting to me. That's not upholding and defending the Constitution. And I wrote an open letter to the Adjutant General of the North Dakota National Guard, and I posted it to Constitutional Truth on Facebook, and I posted it to an online media page called Medium Digest or Medium, and I basically called them out and said, you know, what happened? It's titled "What Happened to Uphold and Defend the Constitution," and I called them out. I was like, "Why are you following these unjust and unlawful and unconstitutional orders? You need to stand down. You need to tell the governor to pound sand." Basically, is what I said, because he's not following constitutional orders, and the people on the ground need to. I challenge the guardsmen in North Dakota to lay down their weapons and to disobey those unlawful orders, and to tell their commanders, "I am not obeying an unconstitutional and unlawful order."
Right. Well, we're right here towards the end of this show, and it's been pretty crazy. Folks, we got a busy lineup this week. A lot of things happening. Of course, Thursday night, The Conservative's Perspective with James Bostick, starting at 7, followed by me, your host, Mark Hoffman, with Josh Bolgard and his song Cold Dead Hands, and he's going to email me another song and play a couple songs from him. And then I have a gentleman, Captain Robert Main of the Aqua Quest International in Tarpon Springs, Florida, who he went down to Honduras a couple years ago. They got boarded by the Honduran authorities and were all incarcerated for over a year. And after they were set free, they went down to Nicaragua, found an amazing treasure in a river. And we're going to talk about all these adventures of the high seas by Captain Robert Main. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's Thursday. And, of course, you can catch Char with Constitutional Truth Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. You don't want to miss it. You call that show 347-637-3942. Be sure to call in. And of course, right now, live, you can tune in right now to Keeper's Mind Pool. That's at blogtalkradio.com / Keeper's Mind Pool. Call him up, 424-258-9290. He's talking right now about what's happening up there with Sandra Cohn Beckwith, Sonia Dow, Dr. James, a bunch of other folks. Zero Hour update from Standing Rock right now. So give him a call. Check him out. Keeper's Mind Pool. He's on Tuesdays, I believe, usually, on the World Integrity News Network. He's back there. But check him out. You can give him a call. Give his show a call right now. 424-258-9220. So I'm sure if you want to talk, press 1. He'll bring you in. And I want to talk about my friend Sylvester Bland. And his show, UnitedSaintsOfAmerica.us, is his site, Monday through Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, www.UnitedSaintsOfAmerica.us. Live Truth Radio with Brian Lang and Freedom Works, Cave Radio with Tony Schwartz. You want to check these guys out, Tal Pallet and Slider Joe, they got their shows going too. Make sure you get to these shows, listen to these shows, and get all information with truth and integrity. The way it's intended. Know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And you have a couple of pages where people can link up with you. Why don't you give those out so that folks can, maybe if they want to send you a show idea or chit chat or whatever the case may be.
Well, the page to reach me is at the little at sign Constitutional Truth, Char Signs, S-I-N-E-S-C-H-A-R. That's my Facebook page. And then if you want to hook up with what's going on with True Texas Patriot Gear, we've got True Texas Patriot Gear on Facebook as well. And then, of course, our website. But if you want to message us and see what's going on or, you know, just keep up with things, just go to the Facebook page and, you know, keep a lookout for what's going on. Like I said, we've got maybe, you know, 10, 12 calendars left, and they will not be reordered. So go ahead and get that order in. And this is the last few hours of the coupon codes for the Free Our Patriots special, wristband special, buy 10, get 10, and $2 off on the first set of wristbands for Cliven and Lavoie. You might want to go ahead and get on that if you go to the True Texas Patriot Gear Facebook page and look at the pinned post. You will find the coupon codes in there. Go on ahead and jump on those specials. And we look forward to that, seeing your order there and help support the families of the Patriot political prisoners. We're really trying to get them a decent deposit for December so that they can have at least have a halfway decent Christmas.
Right on. And I'm seeing right now when the Communist News Network is reporting, they have Sarah Sidner out there saying that the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline is to be rerouted. Folks, CNN's reporting, it's probably bullcrap, but that's what they're reporting. You know what I mean? So we're right here at the end. Char, I want to thank you so much for coming on. You took care of the hour pretty well for me as I'm under the weather a little bit. I handled it much better than I thought. I didn't cough, sniffle, sneeze, or anything like that I thought I would do. I've been doing that all day, so I got lucky.
You done good, buddy, and no problem. I don't mind carrying sometimes. You have to carry for me sometimes, so it's all about teamwork, brother.
Amen. And then we're a great team. We're forming a great alliance with great radio shows, and we're going to help keep this fight going. Until we meet again Thursday night, folks, thank you for tuning in. I want to leave each and every one of you with this great tune. If you have the opportunity to remove your hat, stand, and face the flag, this is Dave Bray live in Pittsburgh. Star Spangled Banner, my favorite new version. Good night.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to sing it together. You ready? Come on, Pittsburgh. Are you ready?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting. Proof through the night that